All right, welcome back to another episode of Take Me There,
a podcast about travel.
We are back here in the studio.
By studio, we mean our apartment.
We have a very fun episode, but we're not going to talk about that yet because we have decided to banter a little up top.
Oh my God, why did you call it out like that?
Because people know what we're doing. Normally,
well,
we get
like
right to it.
We needed a little buffer zone up at the top, get people into the episode.
We come out of the theme song. We relax into a calm. Sorry, I have stuff in my. I don't know.
I guess clear all the phlegm out here in the intro.
But yeah, let's banter.
Okay, what do you want to banter about? Well, it should be travel related.
Sure, we could talk about the trip.
We saw some cheap flights that we were interested in, but ultimately
we almost pulled the trigger on a Paris flight.
Well, we couldn't actually find. That's the problem. We're Scott's cheap flights fans. I would say.
Yeah,
Scotty's.
Yeah, we're Scotty's hotties, but. I think the issue with Scott's Cheap Flights, which we've talked about on this podcast, it's a newsletter that goes out with mm-hmm. cheap flights mm-hmm. based on where you fly from and kind of any destination is possible.
Right.
So you'll get emails that are like this, like the one we got yesterday was like Paris, Madrid, $300, $400.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's a crazy price. Normally that's like a $1,200 flight from LA.
Yeah.
So we were able to find flights. We weren't able to find them in the 300 range.
No, but we did in the $400 or $500 range, but it was when it was like, do you want to go to Paris when it has the worst weather and it's cold and miserable?
Yeah, so we didn't pull the trigger on that.
But we are thinking of also pulling the trigger for maybe like a one or two night situation at Getaway. If anyone's done Getaway, like tweet at us. Because I'm interested. It's like you rent like a tiny house basically for the weekend, but it's a cabin. It's very Instagrammy. It seems cute. Andrew loves the forest. They're all in the forest.
I do love the forest. I love being in the forest. I know you sent me this link for Getaway. I did not click on it.
Andrew.
But I.
Why didn't you ever? I send you so many links and you never click on them. And I think you lie sometimes when you say that you did.
I do lie, yeah.
That's rude.
I just don't want to.
I have good taste. I'm curating these fucking links for you.
I'm just saying that sometimes I'm on my phone already. Reading something really interesting.
Doubt it.
And then
a subreddit about little kids falling over.
You mean kids falling over? That
yes.
One's great.
Oh my God.
Or there's another subreddit called Hold My Juice Box, which
yes,
is.
I'm familiar with all of these important things that you're reading.
They're very funny.
Okay, so that's
what I haven't looked at it. So these are like our trips that are in our mind space right now that are not necessarily we're going to do them.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to think about them.
Right.
But the one we're thinking about most is still Mexico City.
Right. We do want to go to Mexico City in January.
Which seems like a great time to go because weather yeah. looks very like mild but mm-hmm. still warm. And I get to explore my taco fetish.
Yeah. You showed me a list of places that you want to go in Mexico City. And there were 25 places.
There are 25 taco places. We're
tacos
planning
alone.
On going.
That's not
we're
any
planning
of
on
the
going
other food.
For only 5 or 6 days.
Right.
So it's going to be taco, taco, taco every 5 minutes.
Oh my God. Five tacos a day.
But I am most excited about that trip right now.
Yeah,
but
I think it'll be great. I really got to start doing my Duolingo hard. Because I took a lot of Spanish in high school, but it's not.
See.
That's the extent of Andrew Spanish, everybody, ladies and gents. But yeah, so I need to brush up on my Spanish. If there's a better language learning app than Duolingo, please give me the heads up because not you personally, Andrew, because you can barely speak English, but
that's true.
Yeah, I like Duolingo, but there's like a whole dissonance between the phone version and the desktop version, and I don't like it.
Is one better than the other?
Well, you can skip levels faster on the desktop version, and you can't skip them on the phone version. And then you have to buy like jewels that let you skip levels. I don't know. The whole money-making scheme of Duolingo is like a little complicated for me.
Yeah. I remember doing Duolingo before we went to France a mm-hmm. couple years ago.
Do you
ago.
Remember any of the words you learned?
Nope.
Not even like fromage?
I know that means cheese.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's something.
Food locks in my brain.
It really does in a way that all of your memories almost are associated with food.
Yeah, I could remember like what I ate on a specific day.
I feel
like
you probably remember our wedding because of the food that was at the wedding.
I remember exactly what our menu was.
Go ahead.
Steak salad.
Yeah.
Chicken?
Yeah.
Some kind of chicken?
Yeah, roast chicken.
This is not proving my point right now. I don't remember that. We barely ate at our wedding.
You don't have a great memory.
Our wedding was very frantic. You have a lot of things to do.
Frantic is not
a lot of photos to take, a lot of people
using.
To say
yeah,
hello
okay.
to.
Anyway, whatever about our wedding.
I barely ate. You eat like standing up. Like
I sat down and ate dinner. I don't know about you. I had a great time.
I was helping. I was cleaning up plates.
Shut up. No, you weren't. That's such an utter lie. Anyway, banter over.
Banter over. End of banter.
End of banter.
But I actually had a good transition from our banter.
Oh, okay.
Because I was going to say like, these are trips that have been in our mind space, but one that really popped up that we've talked about in a very non-specific way is going to Israel.
Yes.
And you've been to Israel. I've never been. I really want to go. The food seems incredible. It seems like a very, very special and complex place to visit. Mm-hmm. And we really get into all of that with our guest, Yoni Lotan.
Yeah. Who I think like when you think about the kind of person that you want to go to Israel with, it's Yoni.
Yeah.
Hands down, it's Yoni. He has like a context for the country. He has such a joie de vivre.
He's been going there every summer since he was a kid. Yeah. His parents are from Israel. Yeah. He considers himself Israeli to a strong degree. Mm-hmm. And Yoni talks about going a bunch of different times, but he talks about like leading a group of 16-year-old kids on a trip there. Yeah. He talks about he's going in a couple weeks for his cousin's wedding. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of experience there. So it's less a specific trip rundown and more of an overview of how to visit Israel.
Right. And just a Yoni experience.
Yes. A lot of tips, a lot of tricks. He got his mom to like send him specific names. Right. So I think we got a lot of good resources in
yeah,
this one.
Yeah, I think this is a fantastic episode, and I'm
fantastico
super
fantastico episode.
Oh, you're ready to go to Mexico City.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, enjoy Israel with Yoni Lotan.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Well, wow. I'll be the first one to say thank you so much for having me here.
Oh my God, Yoni. You're
He's
so
lying.
Welcome.
He's lying. I'm not like... So let me tell... So this is what we could definitely talk about. Is,
okay.
So this is something I want to talk about. Andrew and I have a very tumultuous relationship.
Yes.
I always thought that definition, the term like frenemy was like a false term.
Oh, yeah.
But it's true. Me and Yoni are true
I've
frenemies.
Never hated and loved someone so much at the same time.
we couldn't be more different.
Sure.
Andrew wrote a pilot.
About
killing me.
Fictional pilot.
Fictional pilot. A, about killing like... someone that just like is me to a T. And then when I got all excited, I was like, oh, I'm gonna play him, right? And he said no. Well, he said
you could audition.
I said you could audition for it. And then he said, but I'm probably gonna give it to Henry Zembrowski. And I wanted to kill him. I was like, you can't just...
That is grounds for murder.
Yeah.
It's grounds for murder.
So okay. I did interview you for that. Do you remember that? We went to a bar. We went to that bar,
yes,
Reservoir.
I do.
By NYU. And I was like, Yoni, a bunch of people have told me stories about you over the years. Could I get like your version of those stories?
Oh.
Like why you thought what you did was acceptable?
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
And it was really funny. It was. Yeah. I still think that pilot's pretty good, but
I have never read it. You never sent it to me.
Oh, I've read it. It was great.
Yeah, it was a sample for a long time.
Now that you, I'm sure your IMDb star meter is a little higher. Maybe.
Oh yeah,
you
what's your meter at?
Only on
what's
it?
Your star meter at?
I haven't checked, but it's existent, which is cool.
That's
cool.
A number.
Which is cool.
That's something.
Yeah. I just want to be like appreciated on web, on the internet.
I think you are, Yanni. I think you've accomplished
that. People like you.
You are someone who's gone viral multiple times.
You have gone viral.
Yeah.
There was no feeling like going viral. It's such a fucking rush.
Is it a rush? How's the come down though?
The come down's hard.
Yeah.
Hard come down. this is going to be a wild episode.
Oh my God.
It's
going to
be nuts.
Okay, so this is our podcast about travel.
Yes.
And we brought you on to talk specifically about Israel.
Yes.
Yeah. And we'll get to Israel.
We're going to get to Israel.
Yeah.
We should probably say for the record that you, Yoni Lotan, are Israeli.
Yes. Ooh,
we should get
bad.
That up top.
That'd be bad if I was just like a white person.
Yeah. Yoni is very Israeli.
So...
Yeah.
So let me tell you something, shall we? Huh?
How Israeli are you?
So my parents are 100% Israeli.
Cool.
Born and raised, and then they moved to America in 81, I believe. And I am first generation Israeli. I was born in America, but raised by Israelis. And I would say it is 100% my identity. Like, this, it's who I am. Like, I don't identify myself as American, and I don't identify myself as an Israeli. I'm like this Israeli weird American. Mush. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's funny. Like, I speak like an Israeli that moved to America.
<You know>? That's for sure.
Because that's, like, the English that I was
taught. Are you fluent in Hebrew?
My Hebrew is interesting. Basically, if you speak to me in Hebrew, I'll understand every single word you say.
Right.
But saying it is hard for me.
Because you don't – just because you don't speak it enough.
Yeah, and like, and that was like how it was in my house.
Right.
Like growing up, my parents would speak to me in Hebrew, and I would just like respond in English because I would go to school.
Right.
And there'd be nobody to talk to Hebrew with. And that's a problem. Like, so I keep telling myself I want to get like, if I got like a tutor, like a Hebrew tutor, I would be fluent in 3 months.
Right.
And I keep, for like a parent's gift, I want to like surprise them, like one day just like show up and just like speak to them in Hebrew, because that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with that said, I could survive in Israel for sure.
Cool.
But the interesting thing is that, so Israel slang is so far from like what the Hebrew I know is.
Oh, interesting.
And a good example of that is one time I went to Israel and my cousin's my age and we're like really tight.
He lives there?
He lives there. He's the best. I'm going to his wedding next month in Israel.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Congratulations, Yoni Sklodzin.
Mazal tov. Thank you. And so one time I hung out with him, and I usually like, I could like rock Israel. I could like, I understand what they're saying, and then I have to like awkwardly be like, yeah, I would like some hummus, please. So I went out drinking with him and his friends.
Okay.
And I, first of all, I was stoned, but also they were just speaking just like another language. But, and I didn't understand what they were saying, and it was the worst thing. And then like their friend got into a motorcycle accident, and they found out via text, and it was like a weird night. But that's like, they're like, okay, we have to go home. Like, Shmulik is hurt, but he was fine. Shmulik is fine.
Okay.
But what's funny, because I was thinking about it, if also if you didn't speak English and then you came to America and hung out with like teens, and they'd be like, this is lit. Like,
right.
You would have no fucking clue what they're saying. Yeah.
But he's the same age as you, but you can't catch his slang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I mean, I say, it's lit.
No, I know you do.
And I say, yes, queen, yes, queen. You'd be like, where's the queen?
Yeah.
Yes,
I guess, yes.
And fuck, what was I wanted to say? Fuck, what would I want to say?
Speaking Hebrew? Shmueling.
Motorcycle Hebrew.
Their slang, wedding. You can't understand it. Okay. We'll get there. We'll
All right, well, before we go to Israel, I want to, we're trying a new kind of segment on the show. Mm-hmm. It's like a quiz to sort of suss out what kind of traveler you are.
Ooh.
So I'm going to give you two options.
Okay.
And then you...
So he has to pick from one of the two options.
Yeah, or he can explain to me why he's neither.
And
it's loose.
And I shouldn't answer these questions.
I think the audience already knows which one you are.
Okay.
Or it's organic. We're trying it
Fans,
out.
Fans, if you're listening, let us know if Andrew should participate in this game.
My mom will text us. Okay. When you travel, are you doing short trips all the time or big trips sometimes?
Short trips all the time.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Why do you like that?
You are currently in LA for 1 week.
You are.
I have traveled so much in the last 2 years, and it's been for like 4 days stints all around this country.
Is that necessitated by work, or you just like doing
work.
That?
Work, okay. But also like when I want a vacation, I would go upstate for like 4 days.
That's cool. Oh, yes.
Cool.
That's my fucking jam.
When you're planning a trip,
mm-hmm.
do you like a tight itinerary or loose plans?
Mamma mia. I loves me an itinerary. I loves me like I something I like to do when I go on big trips.
Yeah.
Is I like to make a fun itinerary. I like to print out like fun facts about the place we're going.
I
like
love this so much.
I make funny pictures for like the cover.
Well, famously we have been to your Seder.
Yes. Oh, yes. You do a similar thing where you write your own Seder script. It's very fun.
It's different every year.
You made me the Pharaoh, I think, last time.
Yeah, that's like a big part.
Yeah, because you're an evil person. I was like, who's the most evil person?
It wasn't because it was a big part. No, it was because he thought I was an evil.
Yeah.
There's no small parts, only small actors.
Yeah.
But evil people.
Yeah. So you like to make an itinerary So you like to do this for everyone?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I like to like give it like, everybody who's coming on the trip.
Okay.
Are you the lead planner on a trip or not really?
It depends on the trip. Like, I just like, but with that said, I like having an itinerary, but I also like the option of us obviously opting out and trying something out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you, you know, this is my judgment of you having known you for 13 years. Mm-hmm. You're a very spontaneous individual.
I am. And there have been actually, I've been on vacation with friends in which I wanted to just like do my own thing and would, and would like branch out.
Okay.
And that was like drama because they were like, no, we have to do everything together. But I was like, no, let me do my own thing.
Right.
Mm. And that's the thing. I think it really depends on the vacation and the crew. You have to read the room when it comes to vacations. Yeah. Because it's like, it would, it's just like, it would be annoying if you're like, we have to go to like club TT tonight. We've what is Club TT? I literally was like, what's a specific place? I'm gonna say Club TT. But yeah, it's like annoying. It's like, fucking, we have to go to Club TT because
it was on the paper.
So I was just in Ibiza with my Ibiza.
I have been to Ibiza once with my family, and it was weird because I was like 11 years old.
Ibiza, the weird.
It's a weird place.
First of all, the lisp thing is real. They fucking lisp like crazy, and I'm like,
oh wait, I'm sorry. That's a thing.
That's a fucking thing.
You're
my
supposed
dude.
To say Ibiza.
Ibiza,
like it's because in Catalan, which is like a Spanish. It's its own language.
It's its own fucking like language, and they're.
I saw that. Remember, I saw that infograph on the internet the other day, and it was like Catalan is 86% similar to Spanish.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you know that 14%, that's a big difference.
And the 20% is just like lisp, like tongue to teeth.
Yeah.
And they're trying to become their own country, or have been for a long while.
They have been for a long time, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know they can. They can fuck it. I'm kidding.
Oh my god.
I'm kidding.
Coming out anti Ibiza. All right.
What were you gonna say about Ibiza?
So basically, what I was trying to say. No. So it's a weird place to go on vacation. So the story behind why my family has gone to Ibiza multiple times is because my stepdad has a friend who is like one of the richest Israelis who lives in Ibiza, and he's just like. This is a thing that rich people do, I think. They're like, I'm lonely. Just, you could come to my house anytime. Just give me a heads up. And like, you could stay in my place.
Wow.
Like, please hang out with me. Like, it's like a villa in the mountain in Ibiza. So like, we'll say yes to that, but never in my life would I be like, let's go to Ibiza.
Right. Yeah.
So we go to his house, and the caveat is.
And this was just with your family.
Just my mom, my stepdad, my sister, my stepbrother, and his girlfriend.
Cool.
And my sisters. Yeah, just like a crew. And what's so crazy about it is the caveat is that it's like you're still under his watch. Like,
right. He gets to take pictures of you.
He walks around. And he walks around. And he walks around the house playing his like music on the Sonos like speakers in every room. And you can't be like, we're just trying to chill by the pool. Because he's given us this amazing gift.
Wow.
And he's just like, why are there's no music here? Come on. And then you just like have to listen to that shit.
That's like the sound of Ibiza.
Yeah. That's so funny. It's like it's like Saw Light, like just torturing you a little bit the whole time you're there.
But that's the thing, is like you have to like be okay with it because he's giving you this amazing gift of just like it's an unbelievable house. So that's the thing. We don't really go clubbing, even though actually we went clubbing this time.
Mm-hmm. Do you go with your mom?
Clubbing with my mom and my stepdad and my sister.
I went to a club in Ibiza, I was 11, and I went with my mom because it was like that's the whole attraction of going to Ibiza.
Their main like export is clubs.
Yeah,
like everywhere you go, every poster, every banner, every like billboard, it's like
EDM DJs.
Calvin Harris.
It's like Pacha.
Calvin Harris at Pacha.
Yes, Pacha's huge. Pacha is like a big club. Oh, I remember when I went. This was like, we went to Spain, me and my brother and my mom and my dad, and it was, my dad like insisted that we go to Ibiza. And it was like, with two kids under 13, like you want to go to Ibiza?
It's not the place for children.
Yeah, we were at this resort that was like mostly like retired Germans and then like us. And then I begged my parents to go to a club because it seemed like the only thing to do there. And it seemed kind of cool. And we went to an empty club at like 7 p.m. And I had a rum and Coke and was like, this sucks.
How old are you?
I was like 11 or 12.
That's crazy.
It was so
Yeah, like it's just like white British men in like tank tops, like, "Can you smoke, love?"
Yeah. Is it like Vegas-esque?
No.
No, it's nice. It's beautiful. It's just like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like a Greek island. Like, it's like very beautiful, but then downtown there's just like a lot of clubs.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I went, a lot of clubs had foam parties, yeah. And I was like, wow, a foam party.
I'd love you to foam party with your mom and stepdad.
Yeah. Oh, so when we went clubbing, mm-hmm. I had been like working on this project for like so long, and I finally finished it, and I sent it in. And I sent it in the day we were going clubbing, so I was like, we need to celebrate. And I got fucking hammered. I got I got pissed drunk. I had Moscow Mules, double fisting Moscow Mules, and I was like drunkenly. So basically, this friend of my stepdad, he's like the richest Israeli in Ibiza. He knows every other Israeli. So the reason why we were at this club is because his Israeli DJ friend was DJing at 3 a.m. So, and he's like, "You have to go." So we're like, I guess we're staying up till 3 a.m. My mom, by the way, for those of you who don't know my mom is like cooler than anybody.
Yeah, your mom's very really cool. My mom's go.
My like it's not weird that my mom goes clubbing. It's weird. No. It's weird that I'm going clubbing.
Right.
Anyways, I got pissed fucking drunk and I just like was dancing in the club. It's like 2:30 a.m. and I smoke a cigarette, which the coolest thing you could do is smoke a cigarette in the club. Oh. It was so fucking cool. Smoking is really bad, and I don't think you should smoke.
It's bad.
But nothing is cooler than being drunk and smoking.
Yeah.
Okay.
In Ibiza. You don't have to promote that.
Sure.
So I'm smoking, and the second I smoke the cigarette, I'm dizzy, and I run outside, and I just puke in this pool. Like, I puked in a pool. In this club. And I'm like, rah, 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 rah. And then my little sister comes out and she's like, "Holy shit." And I was like, "Don't tell mommy." So I like clean up the puke, and then like my mom and my stepdad come out and they don't know yet. And I'm just like, they're like, "All right, so like your mom and I are gonna go home now. There's like, does anybody wanna come home with us?" And I was like, "I'll come home." And then my sister was like, "Yeah, I'll come home." So we like drive back. And we're driving in the car back to our place. And I'm just like, I'm like trying to play cool. Like, they're like, "Do you want to sit in the front?" I'm like, "No, it's cool. I'll sit in the back." And we're just like sitting in the back. And my sister's like, she calls me Johnny. She's like, "Johnny, like, are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine. Just, I need my music." So I like put my music on my iPhone. And then I must have been obvious that I was like puking.
Yeah, yes. It was obvious.
So everyone knew.
So my mom is like, "You know, we could stop and puke if you want. And I was like, no, like I'll wait till we get to the house."
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, "Are you sure? Like we could puke right now." And I was like, "Yeah, maybe we'll puke." So we stopped on the side of the road and there's a photo. You could post the photo on
there. Yeah, we will.
And it's me fucking puking on the side of the road. You don't see any puke, but it's like my mom, who is like a very famous fashion designer, like handing me water. I cherish his photo.
Do you think she was proud in that moment?
So I asked her the next, so it was like, she was so chill and so cool about it. Like she wasn't like, "My son's a monster." Like she was just like,
well, she's a cool mom. She knows
she's really cool.
And from high school, she always said, she's like, "I don't understand why Americans," I'll do the accent. She's like, "I don't understand. I don't understand why Americans drink to get sick. Why are you doing this? Like, drink to be relaxed. Like, all of you Americans, you drink and you puke." So this was just like another example of that.
Funny enough, one of the last times I puked was right outside your mom's apartment after
Passover.
You puked after Passover?
I mean, we drink so much wine.
Yeah, we drank a lot of wine. Yeah,
I think I was fine. I had a great time. Okay, so that was about Yoni's planning style.
Oh man, we got to move through these. All right.
Wait, can I say something?
Yeah.
Can I say something? Yeah. First of all,
can say anything you want.
So I was saying this earlier, but I'll say it again for your fans. Uh-huh. I really think this is a great idea for a podcast because I think a lot of people travel in different ways and there's so many tricks and trades, and every trip I like learn something new. And let me tell you something.
Yeah.
There's a big debate, and I'm sure you've talked about this, about arriving to the airport.
Yes.
Always early or late, but worth the wait?
Yes, early.
For you?
I don't.
What does early mean to you, though?
So my parents have instilled in me always leave 3 hours before your flight.
Leave, like, get to the airport?
Doesn't matter, international, national, any flight. Whatever your flight is, whatever. Let's say your flight's at 12 o'clock, you leave at 9.
Like, you leave your
place. Leave your place 3 hours before.
Okay.
So in New York, it gives you an hour. Getting to JFK is like an hour-ish. So you're trying to get there 2 hours early.
Yeah.
Like you're rolling up to the airport.
Yes.
Checking in 2 hours before that flight.
Reasonable.
Yes.
2 hours is, I'd say, pretty normal.
It's the normal stint, but I've seen this debate on the internet.
Everywhere. Yes.
Where people are like, just like, show up right when they're boarding. I'm like, are you fucking insane?
Yes. Yeah. That like disconnection between reality of people who roll up like 20 minutes before their flight. And like, I get that at some airports, like at Burbank, there's like 10 flights a night.
It makes no sense.
You could roll up and get through in 15 minutes. But a major airport?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing though. Like, if I could do that. Oh, she
loves to roll up as late as possible.
I would do that. I don't want to hang out in the airport at all. I don't need to spend any time there. Honestly, because it's just so many choices that I have to make once I'm there. Because then I have to look at every snack that's available. And then I have to decide which snack is the best.
Someone coined the term. I think it's Brady O'Callaghan from UCB. Someone coined a term. Okay. You don't have to fucking drop that. But someone coined the term that vacation starts when you're at the gate. Like, your vacation officially starts when you're safe. When you're like past security.
So do you feel that way?
100%.
I would feel that way. Past security.
Past security.
No. Then you're on island time.
Honey, vacation doesn't start till you get off the plane. Being on the plane is work to me.
I don't know because like.
No, because flying there, flying back is always sucks. But flying there, you got all that excitement.
Yeah, you're like the bubblies. The bubblies. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, agree to disagree. Yoni, cool. When it comes to your packing style, are you meticulous or ridiculous?
This isn't amazing. In my past, I have been ridiculous.
Okay.
But literally this trip,
okay,
I have been meticulous.
Meticulous? So? What does that mean? What's the change?
So the reason why I'm here in Los Angeles, I live in New York, is because I'm here for a wedding and... it's like a wedding where I'm like, there's like multiple events.
Yeah. So and you are front and center at one of those events.
I am emceeing the rehearsal dinner.
Wow.
So, and it's like, I need to look fly. So I brought two suits.
Nice.
With
power move.
You know it. With multiple like dress shirts. And if there's one thing I hate, it's
packing a suit.
It's just like, it's always going to get, obviously it's going to get like wrinkled and shit, and then you have to like work on that. So I like YouTubed so many videos on how to properly like fold dress shirts and suits and all this stuff, and it blew my mind how much space I had. And
wow!
Just like neatly folding everything in a
some like Marie Kondo shit.
Yeah, like fold. Folds, and it's I don't know if this is the next question, but I usually overpack.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always tend to overpack because I like the ability to make decisions.
Yes.
Well, you're spontaneous.
Very spontaneous person.
Yeah. Oops. Do you think your outfit needs to reflect your mood or just what you're up to?
Yeah, like
you're a fun guy. Sometimes, you know, I don't want to blow up your spot, but sometimes you show up in literal costumes.
Yeah,
which is like a normal social events.
Sure.
And I always bring a costume.
Yeah.
Did you bring a costume for this trip?
I didn't.
Did you bring props?
I brought a fake mustache.
Oh, okay.
Like a big clip-on mustache.
All right.
Yeah.
I know the one that you're talking about.
Yeah, the classic.
Yeah.
But in Ibiza, I brought a Minions costume, which was very fun.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It was just like fun to wear a Minions costume. Like,
what did your fashion designer mom think of that?
I love my mom.
She's the best.
Great lady.
She's very really supportive cool. of my comedic choices. Mm-hmm. So she was, when my mom's on vacation, she's very chill.
Okay.
She's, when she's in the work mindset, she's not very chill. So she was luckily in vacation, so she was like, chill.
Cool.
Nice.
She's like, that's my
fucking... Okay, let's move down this list.
On the plane, are you a window bitch or an aisle queen?
Growing up, window bitch. Now with my big beefy ass fucking legs.
Yeah, you're a big
you
boy.
Go aisle.
Yeah.
That's a theme on the show.
I think if you're tall, like we're about the same height. If you're tall... Your aisle, because you get those extra couple extra inches, leaning those feet out.
And I used to hate when they fucking hit your shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
But I was like a dumb kid, so like my arms were always like flailing. So now as an intelligent adult, I'm always...
You're always in the aisle.
Yeah.
All right.
Also, pee-pee time is easy.
Easier for pee-pee.
Way better.
Yeah.
But obviously when they have to leave...
Then you got to get up. But I'd rather get up. I'd rather stretch my legs.
Yeah.
Get that little extra...
Yeah, that's great.
Sometimes I just walk up and down that aisle. I'm a psychopath, you know?
I love that. I love looking at people...
You just stop at every row.
Flight to Ibiza, was it Ibiza? Yeah, to my flight to Ibiza, I was aisle seat, and there was a couple next to me, window in middle. And I'm like, oh, it was coming back from my layover in Amsterdam.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure they fucked in the fucking...
In the bathroom.
I'm pretty sure they fucked in the bathroom because they both left together.
Uh-huh.
And it was like... They were gone for a while.
Sure.
Both of them.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, because I'm waiting for them.
Overnight flight?
It was afternoon delight. It was afternoon.
Wow, okay.
So I'm waiting. And then she comes back and like it looks like something happened. Like
yeah.
Something has shifted.
Like their mood changed. Like
okay. It's got to still be happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it's happening. It's just gross. Many germs.
Yeah, germs are...
It's also like, how would you like...
I think that's the fun of it, Yoni, is figuring out how.
Yeah.
But it's a no for me, dog.
That's a no for me, dog. You're willing to give it a shot.
I'm Paula. I'm Paula Abdul.
And then do you have any other like go-to gear, tips or tricks?
What you rolling with? You go backpack suitcase?
Let me tell you my motherfucking airport trick.
Okay.
Let's go.
Fanny pack.
Wow.
Explain.
Let me tell you, this changed my traveling life. Okay. You get a fanny pack.
Okay.
Yep.
You put your passport. You put your portable charger.
Uh-huh.
You put your hand sanitizer.
Uh-huh.
You put like, it's just like a pocket that's right there, because I feel like you're always like reaching into your pocket at the airport because you're like you're showing them this, you're showing them that,
right.
You're touching something disgusting, you're like washing your hands. It's like, it's just like easy to have it right.
And you don't have that worry. I always have the worry that stuff's going to slip out of my pocket.
Exactly.
Right. You sit down, you get up a lot. There's a lot of motion.
And it's not like a carry-on.
Right.
Like they don't see that shit. They're not going to be like, that's another $35.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting. Yeah.
A
little extra space.
Yeah.
It's great.
Goes a long way. Yeah. Great. Well, that's a great tip.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Is that the end of your survey?
That's the end of my survey. That's the end of the survey.
I thought it worked pretty well.
Thank you. Oh,
also, you know what we're really into lately? Yeah. I hate being sick on vacation. So I'm like a real, like, stickler for making sure I don't get sick on those
like
planes.
Leading up to or yeah. on the airplane. You're
yeah,
saying.
Yeah.
Like, what are you rocking a mask or what?
I've been rocking mask lately.
Oh, where'd you get it?
So, I mean, this is for my New Yorkers. Woot represent.
Is this like a surgical mask, like standard? You bought like a big box, or did you buy like a fancy one?
Industry City in Brooklyn. It's this like new fucking place.
Okay.
There's like a Japanese market. I'm sure you could buy this online, but this Japanese company that sells like those. Really cool masks. Like, it's just like good texture, feels good.
Comfortable.
Okay. Comfortable. I could find the name and you could post the product. But yeah.
So you wear it the whole time on the plane?
I like have it on my face and then I would like take it down and stuff. And it's weird because people don't think you're weird.
I think because it's become so common on planes.
Yeah.
I've seen so many people do it that I don't think it's weird. I would think it was weird. Like, I'd look at you and, well, I'd look at you anyway, but I'd look at you with that and I'd be like, that's... Okay, like my worry would be that you are sick.
Yes.
Because you're wearing the mask as a preventative measure. So I'd be afraid of you.
Yeah.
If you sat next to me, I'd be like, this fucking.
But it's also like, it's not going to stop you.
Like, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Those germs are strong. I mean.
I think destigmatizing the travel mask is a good thing.
That's your mission in life, dude.
Fanny packs and masks.
Yeah.
Love it.
Okay,
let's talk about Israel.
I loved the new section.
Thank you.
We are talking Israel today with our boy Yoni Lotan.
Shalom. Andrew didn't know how to say hello in Hebrew.
Shalom means hello, goodbye, and peace.
It's like aloha.
It's
very similar.
Yeah. Okay, before we get into this most recent Israel trip, How many times have you been before? Mm-hmm. What were those trips like? Like, why did you go? Amazing. What'd you do?
So, my family is from Israel. 95% of my family lives in Israel. Mm-hmm. I'm first generation American. It's like me, my two sisters, and like two like second cousins are the only like.
Is everybody like all over the country? Are they all in Tel Aviv?
There's some people. Yeah, we are all over the country. So as a kid, I would go every summer.
Oh, wow.
As a kid, it was like, that's how we saw grandma's fun little cute story. My parents in high school lived across from each other. They didn't know each other.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that fun? And they went to the same high school, but okay. They were like different ages. And then they like hooked up in the army.
Wow. Mm-hmm. IDF.
So for the longest...
Because everyone has to do the army, right?
Yeah. Everybody has to do in
every
the army.
Every family there's
so much mandatory conscription.
There's so much we need to talk about.
I know.
I don't know what it's called.
What?
Mandatory conscription? Conscription?
Mandatory...
Everybody has to do
enlist.
It.
Enlist. Anyway.
Who cares? We don't know.
Yes. So the rumors are true. If you're an Israeli... If you're an Israeli-born Israeli, you have... Men have to serve at least 3 years. Women have to serve at least 2 years. And it's right after high school. And you have to, like... It's kind of like college in which you, like... choose like a sect of the army that you want
to gotcha.
Like.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like more higher profile.
What
ones.
Did your parents choose?
My father was in the Air Force, which is very hard to get into.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was like, it's changed now because gender roles are much better than they were in the 60s, 70s. Uh-huh. But it was like a very known thing that women did a lot of like desk jobs.
Uh-huh.
So my mom was like in like a desk job unit.
Administrative position.
Yeah, but with that said, everybody learns how to shoot a gun. Everybody learns how like...
Yeah, you all go to like basic training.
You all go to basic training, so sure. Everybody learns. And if we're getting into it, let's... so much of Israel's identity is because of this.
Yeah, like, every family is a military family.
Every single family is a military family. Everybody... Imagine a country in which every single person has had a shared experience. Like, you all know what it's like to be in the army. You know?
Right.
It's like as if everybody in America went to the same college.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So it's like you all know the same inside jokes. You know all the same things. And on a more serious note, I think, and I mean, it's true, I think everybody has some sort of PTSD because... Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if it's like everybody goes to it or not. The army is a very intense experience. And especially in Israel where there is a lot of, you know.
Conflict.
Like you just, and maybe even more so because you are normalized to it because it's such a part of the culture that like, it's just like everybody has weird feelings about it. It's a known thing that like after the army, Israelis go as far away from Israel as possible to like travel.
Oh, wow.
Like India, South America, like all of these like exotic places, like Israelis just like love to just travel. And yeah. Like Thailand is one of those. And that's why like a lot of Israelis like kind of like put up shop. Like,
so they'll travel and then they'll just stay.
They'll travel and then they'll come back. It's like giant detox. Yes. Like my cousin like went to India for like 2 years, like a year. Just to like,
yeah,
get it out of his system. And I am an Israeli citizen. So, but because I'm also in a dual citizenship, I had to like opt out of enlisting.
Uh-huh.
And they gave me like some sort of punishment. I forgot what it was. It was like
you got punished.
If I ever
was it a spanking?
He ever moved back? Right.
Yeah, they gave me a swirly and a bowl of hummus. no, it's like if I ever move back, I would have to serve some sort of reserves like
yeah.
Gotcha.
Unit.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, we should talk a little bit about politics.
So, well, only because
it's the fabric of the country.
Yeah,
right?
And it's such, I mean, I've never been, so I don't, but just having read a lot about it and watched episodes of travel shows and stuff, there's no, you can't tell the story of Israel without telling the story.
Of course.
Sure.
So this is the main thing that people say when they're like, when they talk about traveling to Israel, they're like, is it safe?
Right? Uh-huh.
And it's always like a stigma and it's very safe. It's Israel's and Israel's so fun. It is such a fun place. Like you guys are going to have so much fun.
I mean, I've been.
Yeah. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went on Birthright when I was like, early to mid 20s. I don't remember my exact age, but it was definitely, I was on like the older end of people going on Birthright, but yeah. I had like just broken up with someone and I was like, this is me. I travel. I do stuff. And it really felt like going home. Like it felt
well,
like,
well, you should tell people what Birthright is.
Birthright is a program that allows American Jews to go on a 10-day free trip to Israel.
Yes.
Basically as a
with
giant
the goal of trying to be like, you could maybe move back. You
well, like, the main goal yeah. of Birthright is for you to have sex with another Jewish person
yes.
and to have babies and to move to Israel. It's like a yeah. whole... It's like a whole plan, and it's like, I don't know if they still do it, but if you meet your future partner mm-hmm. on Birthright, they cover the wedding.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow!
Or some sort of like stuff like that.
That's definitely like the urban legend. No idea if it's actually true.
Fun fact.
Hit me up.
So each group gets like a soldier to come with them to like mm-hmm. be their like yeah, safety person. Uh-huh. I think a lot of it is like you know, like
theater,
yeah. but. Uh-huh. But my cousin was in the army, and he was telling me how like he there's like a waiting list to like sign up for that program,
uh-huh.
and he said the waiting list is a year long because every Israeli soldier, male or female, gets like so much ass.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like every American Jew wants to hook up with an Israeli soldier.
That's yeah. so funny.
And he's like, I just wanted to fucking like. Hook up like so bad.
Yeah.
And
that's what it is.
But so to talk about like the situation in Israel, it's a really fun place, but it's also like my politics is I believe in a two-state solution. What they're doing is like it's also like America's fucked up. Like, you know, I think mm-hmm. it's very complicated because it's not black and white. Like you can't be like Israel is fucked up for doing this thing.
Sure. Like, it's uh-huh. also rooted in like literal thousands of years of history.
Like, let me tell you something. There are so many Israelis who believe in a two-state solution, and there are so many Israelis that, like, know what's happening in the Gaza and West Bank are fucked up, and there's protests all the time. And uh-huh. and I think we're just far away from it, but, like, you know...
How
I
much?
Mean, this is going to be
here's
a
here's what I'll say.
I, like, fucking...
Here's yo, not, so much, to, conservative, not so much that
conservative
you,
people fucking suck. I'm sorry.
Well, I'd say okay. in general that's a generally true rule.
Conservative Jews, like the Orthodox Jewish community in Israel is the conservative Jews in Israel are way more the problem than like any other group in Israel.
Here's my question, because I have no perspective on that two-state solution or whatever. I'm stupid as fuck. But my question is, like, do you feel that when you're there? Do you feel that, like, tension,
you
that energy?
No. You 100% don't. You okay. 100% don't. It's changed from the 90s. Because the 90s, there was a lot of bus bombings. There was a lot mm-hmm. of terrorist attacks.
But I remember watching my perception of Israel as a kid, because there weren't really a lot of Jewish people in my town. And, like, so I remember watching it on the nightly news, and it was always, like, rocket attacks or, like, bombs. Or, like, mm-hmm. my perspective on Israel was... Probably perspective I had on any Middle Eastern country at that time.
No, I mean, again, it's a very safe place, but it's definitely had its like moments in which like now again, like it's like the 90s were a tough time because there was a lot of bombings and you didn't know like what was going to happen. The first time I remember seeing my mother cry was when Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was a great prime minister. He was so close to making a peace agreement. By the way, Orthodox Jew shot him, not Palestinian.
Yeah.
Oh, so, interesting.
Yeah, so write that down in your book.
Yeah.
I am writing. I feel like if you have like Orthodox people who are listening, they're going to be
we
like,
don't. We don't.
We
don't have any Orthodox Jews.
I don't think
Jews
so.
Listeners.
I mean, we would love
one thing that I didn't realize before I went to Israel was I assumed everyone there was going to be, and I say this with air quotes, like really Jewish.
Mm.
Like I assumed that they were going to be practicing Judaism.
Oh, we should say now that you are Jewish.
I'm Jewish, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, my dad is like a Russian Jew from Eastern Europe, and my mom converted before I was born, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, like I thought that the country was going to feel very religious, and it doesn't.
No.
It feels very secular. And I just remember being there on Shabbat in Jerusalem.
American Jews
are
way more Jewish than Israelis.
Yeah. It's so crazy.
Because like Israelis don't feel the need to like they are Jewish. Yeah. They're just like, and that's such a thing that my family instilled in us. Like, we don't, there are holidays that we don't celebrate. Like, it's like, we don't go to temple.
You're not fucking going home for Tu B'Shvat.
No. But yeah. Well, I want to say what's an interesting thing about Israel and what's so special about it is it's so small. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's the size very of small New country.
Jersey. Size of New Jersey.
How, like, driving top to bottom?
Hour and 40.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe maybe that's an exaggeration.
From, like, a lot all the way to the top?
Fuck. Let me. I'm going to, like.
We'll look it up.
We'll look it up.
Okay.
And maybe, an hour 40 may be short, but, like, it is the size of New Jersey, and you could get to Tel Aviv. And this is what, when you tell me we're doing Israel, this is what I wanted to say. What's really cool about Israel? Mm-hmm. How long are you guys going for?
We don't know yet. We're going to go with We're supposed to go next year.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I mean, if I'm like, anyway, we'll talk about this later.
We'll book you.
But what's so cool about Israel
okay.
is that it's such a small state, and you could visit multiple cities in a day. Mm-hmm. Like, the proper way to do Israel is, like, 2 weeks. Maybe 2 weeks.
Yoni was right, by the way. It's 90 minutes.
Really?
The width of the country can be crossed by car in 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow.
From the far north to the south is about 9 hours.
9 hours.
Okay.
That's
about the same as Jersey with traffic, am I right?
Wow.
I guess I do get political.
The special thing about Israel.
The special thing about Israel is that it's so small. And because of the fact that, like, the majority of people that live in this country are either Jewish or Arabic. So it's like everybody is family in a weird way. Everybody's familiar. Uh-huh. So that's why, like, in an interesting way, like, Israelis are have a reputation of being very social, very, like, aggressive and, like, telling you, like, how they feel. Because in Israel, that's how it is. It's like you're literally talking to your family members. It's like Israelis are like, what are you doing? Like, that's stupid. Like, you're acting stupid. And then in America, you'd be like, excuse me?
Very blunt.
Yeah.
Israelis, I feel like I would like it there.
You would love it.
I love being
Israelis
blunt.
Tell you how it is to your face all the time.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because my parents moved here and they've instilled this into me. So, like, it doesn't translate in America.
It's but funny. I will say it does translate, Yoni, because you are one of, like, the warmest, friendliest, like, most magnetic people I've ever met. Everywhere Yoni goes, someone knows him. And someone is like, Yoni, it's
this
so good
is
to
true.
See
and we've
you.
Even had points where we've talked about that fact that we run into someone and then we'll walk outside and we'll run into your friend who's in, like, med school.
Yeah.
And, like, you're just, a warm soul.
I'm a warm bowl of couscous.
But okay. Everything you're saying about how, like, Israelis like to, they cast a wide net when it comes to, like, being a citizen of the world. Like, I feel like that's very much how you are.
Thank you. And it's like, I credit my parents because it's like, family is so important in Israel.
Yeah.
It's like a very important thing. I went to a disgusting sound for you to hear.
Sorry.
I'm going to turn that off.
I went to School of Visual Arts and I studied film. Ooh. And there was like a foreign film school, foreign film class. And the project was to choose a specific country, watch a bunch of their films and write just like an essay of like your experience.
Sure.
And I chose Israel. And so I watched a lot of Israeli films and all of them. The main theme is like family first. Than the rest. Like, trust your family. The family is all you need. And which is so interesting because my parents chose to, like, leave their family to start their own family in America. It's like a whole thing with my family. But every time I go back to Israel, even though I never lived there, even though the last time I've been in Israel was, like, 3 years ago, you feel like you're home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's, like, a thing with, like, American Jews. When you go to Israel, you, like, kiss the airport, the floor, the ground.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It's like a thing. Yeah. For your first time, if it's your first time.
So, back to first time, the times you went there as a kid, you were going every summer.
Oh, yeah. So back to my grandma. So for the longest time when we visited Israel, both of my grandmas literally live across from the street. So we would like go back.
Oh, my God. That's so cute.
So my family is from the city of Netanya.
Mm-hmm.
Netanya means God's gift.
Mm.
Just so you know.
And okay. It's 20 minutes away from Tel Aviv, 20 minutes north, and it's awesome. It back in the day, it was not the safest place. It was the mafia capital of Israel. It was like a very big in the diamond industry. There's a lot of Russian mobsters, but now it's cleaned up and it's very, it's actually cool.
Cool.
My grandma lived off the beach. Like, it was so fun. Mm. So the cool thing about Israel, like I was saying, is small state, could travel to multiple cities in one day. I mean, you'll be tired, but you can. And each city has like a very distinct personality and look.
Okay.
It's very, very cool, which is why, like I say, you do 2 weeks or 2 weeks and a half, because you get to travel to a city, do a few days there, travel to a new city, because it's like a different experience.
Yeah.
So let's run it down. So you got, so let's start with, can we go to each city?
Yeah, please.
Yep. We're just going to skip over your childhood traveling.
Oh, okay, good. I mean, we can do my, well, we'll do it.
Well, here's what I'll say. Give me a quick stint of like, what was it like as a kid? What did you think about? Did you like it as a kid? Or was it like, because you said you went every summer.
I went every summer and I loved it. It was like, I loved my cousins. I loved my aunts. I loved my uncles. Like, it was just like family. And you go to the beach. And what was so interesting is now it's different because the world is faster. But back in the day, Israel's, like, American culture was a year and a half behind.
Okay.
So, like, you like, see all these movies. Like, so you go to Israel and be all, like, all these movies that were out, like, you saw, like, a year ago.
Uh-huh.
And, like, all of, like, the, like, food and all this stuff, it was like you were traveling
back in time,
like, literally. And my cousin, I love my cousin. So my cousin always wanted to be American.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So he was obsessed with American. He loved Michael Jordan. Like, Israelis love such specific American things. Like he loved Michael Jordan. He loved Bugs Bunny. Like, he loved Dude, Where's My Car? He would quote, like,
that's so funny.
He would quote Dude, Where's My Car all the time. He would quote Austin Powers.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Get in my belly. Like, yeah. We bought him like a Fat Bastard toy when we, like, he just, that's like, so he funny. Emailed. He's like, can you buy me a Fat Bastard toy?
That's so funny.
Like, they're like, now it's again, it's like, now I bet you they're caught up, but sure. Like, it was so, and that was such a funny element of like going.
Yeah.
And another thing was like a TV there. There was a channel called Shesh, which is six, and Shesh Plus was at nighttime, they would show American shows with Israeli subtitles, and that was like the best because it was like Simpsons, Family Matters.
Oh, wow. Friends. Yeah.
Friends?
Huge.
Huge in Israel.
Yeah. They love
huge.
It.
Huge. My cousin is obsessed. Like, friend, like.
Are any of the characters on Friends Jewish?
No.
And it's interesting because.
No, I think Ross and Monica.
But
are.
Think about. Maybe, so, I don't like, know. Again, like in the 90s, Israel became really Americanized. Like,
uh huh.
Like, it was just, like, that's when their relation started becoming, like, a strong thing.
Right.
And I think Friends was just, like, a show that, like, showed Israeli kids and teens, like, this is what America is.
That's
like,
so yeah. funny.
And, like...
Did you ever watch Israeli Sesame Street? Rechov Tzumtzum. I used to have these VHS tapes about Jewish holidays, like Passover and Hanukkah, but they were, like, Rechov Tzumtzum. They were, like, a mix of American... It, like, Sarah Jessica Parker is in the Passover one. And they would play it.
And they have different characters, right?
Well, they have a hedgehog. Yeah. Instead of Big Bird.
What was his name? Fuck.
Sammy? Is it Sammy? Fuck. Or is it...
But Porcupine Hebrew is something funny.
Oh, fuck. I'm going to look it up.
But yeah, no, it was awesome. Going to Israel as a kid was awesome.
Okay, so let's get back to modern day, this trip 3 years ago. Or just walk us through Israel, what you love about it, what you love about the different cities.
So Israel is... There's a bunch of cities in Israel, and each have like a very distinct personality.
Uh-huh. Right.
Obviously, Tel Aviv is the So I'm gonna go ahead and say it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Tel Aviv is by far one of the best cities in the world.
It's really cool.
It's like the lower. This is the last time I was there as an adult.
Right.
And I kind of like one night, this seems to be a theme. I got really drunk and kind of just like walked the entire city. It's very small.
Yeah.
It's on the beach. It's.
This is where it is. I'm showing him a map. It's like in the middle of the coastline.
Yep. She's telling the truth. It is.
So it is like, the way I would describe it is that if the Lower East Side was an entire city, by a beach.
Yeah, it's like if you
like in terms of like
it's like cool. It feels cool. It feels young. Single, it feels
it's the youngest city. Everybody there is hot.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Imagine are a city hot. In which everybody, the old janitor with shit between his butt cheeks, hot as hell. Like everybody is tan and hot, and it's like a bathing city. Like everyone's in bathing suits.
Yeah.
But the like vibe and the culture is all like Lower East Side. It's just like everyone is so cool. Everyone is like down to chill. Everyone is like smoking cigarette and drinking
something.
Spritz, I don't know. And yeah, it's like it's very fun. And then there's Tel Aviv Jaffo.
Yeah.
Jaffo is like the old, it's like an old Arabic city. And that's like, it's like historic buildings, like really old, old. And it's
the best. It's like a stone city.
Best falafel. Best falafel. And I'll give you my Rex.
Okay.
But like, and it's so interesting as Israeli, like, I have not had a good falafel in America.
We had good falafel in Paris, but we've had legendary Israeli falafel.
And it's interesting because I wonder if that's the case with like other foods culture because I'm just so familiar with Israel's falafel.
But it's so interesting because as you say, like so many Israelis like travel and they go to different cities, especially America. I'm sure there's a lot in New York, a lot in LA. And it's like, why hasn't someone opened up a falafel place that's legit?
There is a legit falafel place. What, Dizengoff? Do you like that place?
Dizengoff. Oh, well, I'll actually say this.
Uh-huh.
The best Israeli food I've had in America is a place called Miznon.
Miznon.
It's in New York, and it's also in Tel Aviv. It's in Tel Aviv.
So that's a record. Legit. Miznon,
it's legit. And I met the owner and the chef.
Okay.
And in the New York ones, actually, they opened in Chelsea.
Of course.
They opened in Chelsea Market, of all places, and fucking Upper West Side. So it's like they know their target audience.
Uh-huh.
But he buys tahini. Oh, actually, can we talk about that?
Yeah,
sure.
Talk about it.
What are we talking about?
I say hummus and tahina.
Hummus and tahini.
And it's weird because whenever I go out with friends and like, let's say we're ordering whatever, and I want to order the hummus, like...
Do you censor yourself?
If I censor myself, I feel like I'm betraying
who you are,
who I am.
And you have to say hummus.
And if I say it, I feel like I'm showing off.
Uh-huh.
Right. So I think you should show off.
I always go hummus and tahina. And then also, like, if it is an Israeli place, it lets them know that I know what's up.
Right.
So the owner of Miznon, he gets a tahina from Israel and he brings it to America.
Cool.
So another thing, legit. Another thing about Israel and the pita, he literally got the recipe on how to make this pita in Israel, and then he brought it to America, and like, it's like, the pita is so good in Miznon, and the hummus is, and the tahina is so good in Miznon.
I feel like we have very good, like, Turkish and Armenian restaurants in LA that share, like, some of those dishes. I'm sure they're not made the same way.
Right.
So I've had very good versions of that, but I don't know like an Israeli specific restaurant here.
Well, they might be over in like Kosher Corridor, like not in our neighborhood.
I've had good falafel.
No, but I get what you're saying. Like it's not tasting the same.
Like I remember the first time I had falafel in Israel and it like blew my mind. I was like, this is what it tastes like.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's so much better.
It's so much better than eating. Remember that like shitty place in Union Square?
Oh,
Moe's. Yes, yeah. That place. Yeah. Mouse. And I was just like, this sucks.
Yeah.
That place does suck. I think it's close.
Bad falafel sucks. Like bad falafel really sucks.
Yeah.
But in Israel, it's amazing. Like the hummus is just a different quality. It's much creamier. You're getting pretty much like a tomato cucumber salad like everywhere you go.
Yeah. Israeli salad.
It's legit. They're serving it there.
Was you could get almost any drink as a slushie. Mm-hmm. I was like, this rules. Iced coffee is like a coffee slushie. I'm sure it has a million calories, and I probably gained like 15 pounds on the ship because I was having one every day.
Like alcoholic slushies is fun.
Yeah.
Is Tel Aviv your favorite city in Israel?
Yeah, by far.
Yeah.
Tel Aviv is like you could go to Israel and just hang out in Tel Aviv.
So if someone's going to go to Tel Aviv, they got to go to Jaffa. What else do they have to do?
So So if you're trying to like find a good neighborhood to like Airbnb in, go to Florentine. This is like, if it's like the coolest, it's the coolest. It's like the pre-Williamsburg Williamsburg. It's
the
like
Bushwick.
It's not even Bushwick. It's like, so you know Bauhauses? What are those called?
Yes.
It's a type of architecture. Yeah, it's like very cool.
They have a lot of that? A
lot of that. Like Florentine is where you should stay. That's where like the young people are. That's where the cool bars are. That's where everything is. I don't know how close it is, but there's the Shuk. The Shuk is the market. The Shuk. Shuk HaCarmel is the very popular Shuk or market in Tel Aviv. It's very touristy, but it's very cool. And it's a very cool experience. It's like huge.
Like it's legit. It's touristy, but it's
legit. It's also legit. Where everyone is legitimately doing their shopping. It's not like a market that's there for tourists to buy souvenirs. Like it's really where people go shopping.
And there's a really, really, and like they sell falafel there. That's really good falafel. Like
that's a place to get falafel. That's a great tip.
Like it's just like inside they sell falafel there. It's just like good street falafel. And they all equals like a funny thing I like to, there's like funny t-shirts that they sell there where it's like Americanized. Like you ever see anybody wear like sports clothing, but it's in Hebrew. It says New York Knicks. Like it's
that's so funny.
Like that's where you buy those shirts. Like you go, like I own, like you could buy a shirt that says like Pikachu and it's in Hebrew. And it's,
of and course it's
like,
you
Pikachu
do.
With a yarmulke. Like,
oh my God.
But yeah, they sell like
everything. Move over, like, Detective Pikachu.
Rabbi Pikachu. Pikachu.
All right, let's keep going.
I'm embarrassed how long it took us to get to
they
Pikachu.
Have, like, they have fruits, dates, like everything you want.
Spices, candy.
It's great.
It's also vibrant. It's so colorful, and it's all in like big piles. Like I had never seen anything like it when I went the first time.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Let me.
Yoni's checking his phone.
Yeah, he's checking his phone.
I checked my phone. I asked my mom because I haven't gone in a while.
Right.
So I like texted her, like, what are those places I liked? If you want the best burekas, go to Shuk Levinsky.
Tell
like,
people what burekas is.
Burekas is like a phila dough. Like,
is it like baklava?
No, it's like a cheese.
Oh, okay.
It's like, what's the cheese that's in it usually? It's like feta.
It's not labneh?
Yeah, maybe it's labneh. I don't know. It's like a cheesy croissant.
Okay. Sounds great.
Flaky cheese in the middle, like usually like a labneh or a feta and sesame seeds. Really good. Very good Israeli snack.
Yeah.
It's in Shuk Levinsky.
Shuk Levinsky. Got it.
I think Monica Levinsky. the place I had my bar. The place my mom and stepdad got married is a really good seafood restaurant. Ooh. That's on the water. It's called Fortuna.
Okay.
Fortuna, Fortuna.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very beautiful view of Tel Aviv and the beaches. You got to go to the beaches.
I mean, the seafood's got to be good. It's such a beach country.
Israel in general has amazing produce because it's so small.
Right.
Like
very local.
They're known for dairy. Israel's nickname is the land of milk and honey.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because it's just
There's that yogurt drink. What was that?
Kefir?
No, remember when we were traveling in Southeast Asia, there was
Yakult. Well, that's a brand of a yogurt.
Yes, that was everywhere in Southeast Asia. Everywhere. Yeah. Every 7-Eleven, every convenience store had it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
Yakult?
Yeah. It actually recently had like a moment in America because she drinks it in that Netflix movie To All the Boys I've Loved Before because she's Korean American.
Oh, so like
and,
Twitter went
they went crazy.
Twitter went off.
Nuts.
Yes. You know how Twitter is.
I'm like 90% sure she's Korean-American, and I'm going to feel bad. I didn't watch the movie.
Viewers and listeners.
It's okay.
Drag her if she's wrong.
Listeners, if you're listening, let's find out if that lady is Korean.
And if you can, for whatever reason, just drag Yoni too, please.
Drag me. I love to get dragged. I love pain.
Okay, let's keep going.
Anyway.
What else was on your mom's list?
My mom's hot list.
Were you going to say where you had your bar mitzvah?
I had my bar mitzvah at a place called Monterey. It's also off the water.
Okay.
I had my bar mitzvah in Israel.
Oh, that's cool.
Did you have it at the wall?
We went to the wall. But I didn't have it at the wall. We went to the wall. But I just had it at a fun place in Tel Aviv because all my family lives in Israel.
Cute.
So
yeah.
It was great. It was
Did
a fun
you have
time.
It at a synagogue?
I had it at a synagogue. Fun story. I had really long hair in middle school.
How long?
Like...
He's showing like right, like below mid his chest
level.
Above my titty.
Yeah.
Above my club titties.
He would trim it right next to his nipple.
All right.
And it was like a whole thing. Like people thought I was a girl.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
People called me Pocahontas.
Yikes.
And my bar mitzvah, in the moment I was showing God that I'm ready to become a man, I like chapped lips and my hair was all frizzed out. So I looked like the ugliest, like, woman. So like all my bar mitzvah photos are just me just like looking like this.
I kind of need one of these.
Yeah, it's great. I'll try to find photos. But yeah, that's
my These are good. Any other Tel Aviv spots that you like? Or like just things you like to do in the city?
You definitely have to go to the beach. You got to get matkot, which is in America, it's prokadima, those prokadima bands. Like, let me tell you what Israel is. Israel is sitting on the beach. It's like paddleball. Playing paddleball in like Speedos.
Did you wear a Speedo when you got there?
I have worn Speedos because it's like you like lean into the culture.
Sure.
Everyone is like wearing Speedos. Like, come on, let's have a good time. Volleyball, bing, bing, bong. The water is so nice.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Smoking the argila. Oh, so they have like these bars that are like on the sand in the beach. And like each, they have these little like red triangles that are also hookahs.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, and they're lit up. So it's like you're just like sitting on the beach at nighttime, like smoking your hookah and getting drunk on the beach.
Yoni's doing a little bit of a dance right now. He's sashaying.
Listen to what I'm telling you. Imagine you're just like going to like a really cool, like Lower East Side type bar with a few drinks with friends. And you're like, fuck it. Let's go to the beach. You go to the beach, you get some drinks on the beach, you smoke hookah and you're just like
living.
La, 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 la.
Please stop clapping into the mics.
Oh my God. I just had this recovered memory from when I was on Birthright and, you know that Avicii song, R.I.P. Avicii, that was like, wake me up and it's oh my God. We listened to that on the bus every day, like 5 times a day. It was truly the anthem of our Birthright trip. Like that really takes me back to Israel.
Israel's all about like having a good time and enjoying yourself. Everything but Jerusalem. And we'll get to Jerusalem in a second. Jerusalem.
Okay.
So I actually led a group like Birthright. I was 21 years old and I led a group of 30 16-year-olds.
I remember because I knew you when you went on this trip.
Yeah. Right.
And we were all, the whole time you were gone, joking about how you were going to like kill these like kids. Multiple.
Yes. It was great. It was very successful. Right. So like Birthright, we go over Israel and it's like their CIT year in our summer camp.
Right.
So in Tel Aviv, what they do is like they do free nights where they get like 3 hours to like roam around the city. We give them a radius and me and the two other counselors just like chill at a bar and just like wait for them. And then we go on the bus and then obviously they're not allowed to drink and everything. But so it's like, this is a fun little story. We taught the girls in Hebrew how to say, don't rape me.
That is a fun story.
So it's like, if they ever feel like weird, scream alto no soti, and then immediately the guy would like run away.
Oh my God!
It's not unhelpful.
Imagine
advice.
Bringing a bunch of 16-year-old girls to Israel, and like it's your duty to make sure they're okay.
Yeah.
So you got to go with some hard tactics.
Yeah.
Sure.
So this is a good segue to the story. So their free night ends at Tel Aviv, and we're all on the bus, and we're doing count off. We're like, all right, guys, count off. It's like 1, 2, 3. Oh, we did the name. So it's like, Chelsea. Well, that's an American name. Yeah, Rachel.
Isaac.
Moshe. Shmuelowitz. And then I just see this Israeli man on the bus. Just like this young fucking Israeli man. And I was like, excuse me. No, off. And he's like, come on. We have good time. Come on. Let me stay. Come on. I was like, out. Get the fuck out of this bus. He's like, come on. And he's just like, okay. And then he just like left the bus. And I was like, what? Why was he on this bus? And they're like, he's nice.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You got to teach him a different phrase now.
Yeah.
Yeah, get off the bus. Okay, so when you were on that like pseudo Birthright trip, I assume you hit like all the top tourist spots.
All the tourist spots.
Oh yeah, so out of the tourist spot, we'll move to these other cities. Yes. But out of the tourist spots in Israel, what's worth doing and what is not worth doing?
Wow, good question.
We'll go through a few. Masada.
It's very cool. If you're crunched for time, there's more important stuff to check out, but it's very, very cool.
Masada, for context, is like this ancient city that's on the top of a really high rock, or at least it used to be like a place.
There was a standoff with the Romans there.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And the story is that this like group of Jewish soldiers, they knew that they were going to die. And so they all killed themselves except for one person who was left to tell the story of the battle.
So it's a very important place in Israel's history. Yeah. And you normally do sunrise hikes. Like you hike it when it's the sunrise. It's a beautiful view of the desert. Yeah. And
but you've done this, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool. You said it was bad though.
Well,
it's just
hot. It's really hot and it's a tough hike.
It's very, very cool. And I think if you have the time, you should definitely do it.
Yeah.
Also plug, my stepdad is a very famous Israeli musician.
David Broza.
And he is known for his Masada shows where he performs on Masada.
That's very cool.
That's cool. I would go up to the top of Masada to see that.
Now there's a cable car, so you don't have to do the hike if you don't want
to. But there are definitely, like, again, if you're there for like a week and it's just like not fitting your schedule, it's not the worst. But what you should definitely check out is definitely the Dead Sea.
Yeah, I would say Dead Sea.
The Dead Sea is like so unique and just like so interesting. And it's like also like, going away. It's like going through some really shitty. It's just like
because of climate change.
Climate change. It's like,
really, oh
yeah. I think it's just like eroding. I think it's eroding. I don't know. But it's for those of you who don't know, it's the lowest point on Earth, right? Mm-hmm. It's like
It's below sea level.
It's below sea level, and the water is like pure salt.
Yeah, it's like such a high density of salt that when you get in, you float.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Also, just word to my ladies, if you go in the Dead Sea, it does burn go up your in there. Vagina.
And also, one time I farted and it burned my butthole.
That tracks.
That is, I think, just a moment that encapsulates your entire life right there.
One time I farted and it burned my butthole.
Well, I mean, the experience of going to the Dead Sea is like, there are lots of different like sort of like spas or like beach clubs.
Yeah, it's like spa central. And yeah. It's known for like, you know, rubbing like, so there's a lot of mud there. Mm-hmm. So you like rub the mud. It's good for your skin.
It's really rich in minerals.
It's just like such an interesting, cool, like experience. And like, you go in, any cut you have in your body immediately burns, but then like is cleaned up the next day.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Let me run down some other popular tourist places.
Why? Are we running out of time?
No. I just like, you know, we can't spend 10 minutes on every
whatever
attraction. Fine. You just have to party move through.
La 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 la.
Please stop clapping. Okay. Here are the lists from
touristisreal.com.
Okay.
These are the historic places you should go, and you tell me yes or no.
Okay.
You can expand.
Sure.
Old City in Jerusalem.
Yes. Oh, so yes. I mean, the main tourist attraction, and it's definitely a must-see, is the Old City in Jerusalem. It's the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall.
Is Jerusalem the city that has four different sections?
Yes.
It's like Christian Armenian,
Muslim, Jewish. And the fourth one is...
Isn't it Armenian?
I don't know, actually.
I don't know.
But it's four quadrants. So Jerusalem in itself... I mean, this is my whole thing with Jerusalem.
Yeah, go into
Jerusalem is a very intense city. It's like the energy... It's not an Israeli city. It's an international city.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole controversy with Trump making it the capital. He's a fucking asshole. Anyway... By the way,
oh no,
no, hear me out.
Oh my God, he's going.
If the Orange Man is listening, I am not a fan of yours. You know, if you're listening to this podcast, I hope you vote Democrat. Okay,
thank you.
To Trump.
Well, no, my message to Trump is go fucking fucking shit, my dude. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
You were right. It is the fourth quarter is Armenia.
Thank you.
Cool.
I don't know how I knew that.
All right.
So it's. Unlike any other energy I've ever felt, it's very tense because it's like a lot of Orthodox Jews.
So very different from Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
Polar
the vibe
opposites,
is very different.
Polar opposites. And it's like 2 hours from each other.
Okay.
It's in the mountains, which you don't expect. And it's just like a very – the old city is so beautiful. It's just like – it's the oldest city. It's just like old city. And there's a...
And they've kept... there's not a lot of like modernization or like changes
it's like
to it. It's very...
It's like more than a national like monument. It's like
It's holy ground.
I mean, Jesus walked on that land. There's like a stone in the old city that like apparently Jesus like put his hand on like while he was like
taking. Oh, so the word I was trying to think of was UNESCO World Heritage.
Yes,
site. It is that.
Yeah,
like when Jesus was like carrying the cross, he like took a break or some shit. Like I don't know, it's a crazy story.
he got like, a falafel.
He like took a break and put his hand like on this like stone.
Yeah,
and it's like a treasured stone, and there's like a long line of people, and everybody like touches the spot that he touched, and it's like already like withered down
because
so many people have touched it, and it's like always like Christian, like just long lines of Christians. Mm-hmm. It's just really interesting. Jerusalem and the Western Wall. I'm not the most religious person, but there is something very special about that wall. So basically, they split it up. So men on one side, women on the other side.
And it is the Western Wall of what used to be like the external wall of the city of Jerusalem,
so,
right?
Yeah, so the wall was part of a temple.
Oh, I was wrong.
Yeah.
The wall was part of a temple that was broken down in some sort of war. Yeah. But, and again, it's very sexist, but the men's side all the way to the left was the closest side to what, like, I'm butchering this, but it's like either the most sacred Torah or God himself.
Okay.
So like that is like the closest you could be to God. So like you'll see like a lot of people, like a lot of men are just like jammed in there just like praying. And the wall, as I'm sure you know, or that's like the popular known thing for the wall, is like you write wishes on a piece of paper and you roll it up and you stick it in between the cracks of this wall. Like that's what people do.
People also kiss the wall.
Yeah.
Kiss the wall. It's like the wall is like part of this very important temple.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So like just
it's like one of the holiest places in Judaism.
So like, and the security is very tight there.
Yeah.
Women cannot wear shorts or any, like you have to, they like put a shawl on you.
That's a good tip.
Yeah.
No shorts.
I mean,
you should just assume if you're going to any religious site anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
You
no have skin. To, same with like Buddhist temples.
And then like everyone's praying. And what's so interesting is like there are times when it's very packed, but like I would recommend, oh, here's a Jerusalem tip.
Yep.
Go to Jerusalem City when it's not very I guess you have to go. It's like very packed during the day when it's like touristy. But if you go like near the end of the afternoon, like the wall is like desolate. It's like no one's there.
That's like interesting because I've heard that about people say that about like DC monuments too. Mm-hmm. If you go to like Jefferson Memorial or whatever at night or in evening, there's because all the tour groups are gone.
Yeah.
It's such a different experience.
And it's like just you and this like important piece of like history.
Yeah.
Like I've been to the wall one time when like there was like nobody there. And it's just like, you're just like, this is the Western Wall.
How tall is this wall?
It's tall.
Like a couple stories.
How tall is the wall?
I would guess just from like my knowledge, I would say like 4 to 5 stories.
Okay. Are there any
62 feet tall?
What's up?
62.
Six stories. I think stories are average 10 feet. So, any other Jerusalem spots?
Is Yad Vashem in Jerusalem?
New York, I think.
I thought Yad Vashem was very cool. Yad Vashem is the Holocaust Museum in Israel.
I have a fun story about the Holocaust Museum.
your use of fun is very interesting.
So the Holocaust Museum, Yad Vashem, is actually a very important
museum.
It's
a very moving museum, too. I feel like it's well-designed. Like, in terms of museums you can go to, it doesn't suck.
It's the best designed museum. Yeah. So my funny story is, in this trip that I took a bunch of young 16-year-olds, the night before we went to Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum, they got drunk. We knew they were drinking, but we just weren't like tattooing. We were just like making sure they didn't. So then we went to the Holocaust Museum and a bunch of them were like super hungover.
Oh no.
And the Holocaust Museum is a terrible place to be like hungover. And Yad Vashem purposely makes the whole museum is kind of like a triangle building.
Uh-huh.
So like you can't really like lean on the walls. You can't like, it's like not, it's like they don't want, if you're an older person, you could request a chair or request everything, but mm-hmm. they purposely want you to like physically be attentive and physically be there.
Right. For a bunch of 16-year-old hungover
like they
kids.
Don't want like slouching. Yeah. Like it's a very important museum.
And it's like very intentionally designed. Like the way that you walk through it is very intentional.
And it's a beautiful museum. It's very intense. Like you're going to cry.
Yeah.
My grandma has a very intense Holocaust story. And she was interviewed by Steven Spielberg for this.
The Show Up project?
Yeah, yeah. So basically
wow.
he like.
Oh, wow.
That's a big deal.
So he just like filmed like tons and tons and tons and tons of
Holocaust survivors. For this museum?
For it's in the museum.
Yeah.
And you could like watch any of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like an archive. And yes. You could be like, I want to watch this. Yes. Did you watch your grandma's?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It was awesome.
That's intense.
Yeah. You can also, it's kind of Ellis Islandy in that you can look up your Jewish relatives like in their database. Mm-hmm. And they can, they have like a big database of like where people died or what happened to people. What camps they were in. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to Israel for like a fun vacation, like you could go, like, just know like what you're getting into when you go to a Holocaust museum.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean,
but important.
Important.
Are there any more fun, as you would say, spots that you like?
So Jerusalem, even though the energy is very intense, the nightlife is very, very cool and interesting because there are bars and like cool places in the old city.
Oh,
so it's like the facades are like these like old stones, but it's like a cool bar. I had friends who lived in the old city, and it was like cool.
That reminds me of the Jewish neighborhood in Paris, which I can't remember the name of. Starts with an M.
Marais is where we had the falafel.
Yeah, but there were a lot of like bars and restaurants in like very old, you know, I mean, for Paris old, but like very old buildings, and they seemed awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, let's run down this list a little more. This is my new segment called "What Does the Tourist Website for the Country Say You Should Do?"
So if you're going to Israel, like I would definitely you have to go to Tel Aviv and you have to go to Jerusalem. For Jerusalem, I would definitely like go for like 2 days, 3 days, but like no more. Like
not it shouldn't be the primary place you go.
It's important, but it's not like a party.
I will say best rugelach I've ever had in my life was at the Shuk in Jerusalem.
The Shuk in Jerusalem is banging. Really, really good food.
Yeah. Okay. This says, we already talked about Tel Aviv beaches.
Yep.
It says go south to Eilat beaches.
Eilat.
Yeah.
So Eilat's the next city on my city's
tour. All right,
tour.
Let's go. This Eilat's list is working out.
Israel, Eilat is all the way at the bottom.
On the border with
Egypt? It's the Red Sea. But on the border with Egypt.
Yeah.
Or what's it called? Sinai.
Uh-huh.
The Sinai Peninsula. Eilat is the Miami of Israel. It's beach city. It's like the term
so
is
different from Tel Aviv.
Yes. It's on
Tel Aviv is like New York Lower East Side.
Uh-huh.
It just happens to be by a beach. Eilat is a bathing suit city. Like that is where you go to that's
like Vegas.
Yeah. It's like Eilat's like a vacation destination. Like you go there to like go clubbing. You go there to like
gotcha.
It's the term Arsim is kind of like bros, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's like gelled hair, like club goers.
Uh-huh.
So like Arsim go to Eilat.
Okay.
I rode my first banana boat on Eilat.
What's that?
Like you sit on a inflatable banana and the jet ski or boat takes
that's
you.
That's a thing?
Yeah, it's like getting pulled on like a tube or something.
But it's a banana?
But yeah, wow. Like if you want to like go to like a fun beach city and like go clubbing, Eilat's the place for you. And
okay. And is it like cool or is it like a little grimy in the way that like Vegas can be?
It's a little grimy.
Okay. So just something to be aware of. But you can have a good time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Here's what else this website says.
Uh-huh.
Independence Hall in Tel Aviv. Did you go there?
I went there on birthright.
I don't remember.
It was a snooze. Was
okay. Like that's a snooze. Room. Don't get tourist trapped there. Trade
Fuck. I guess you can edit this. In Jerusalem, you have to take...
I don't do any real editing, so...
I highly recommend you get like a tour guide for Jerusalem.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Like that's a good tip. To give you some historical context.
Like a walking tour of the old city. 100%. Like
and yeah. There's a really, really, really cool tour of the underground tunnels below the old city.
Oh, cool.
And it's very cool.
All right.
So I would definitely highly recommend getting a tour guide for Jerusalem.
All right.
Okay, I'm kind of bored with this bit, so I'm just gonna do one last thing.
Okay,
and this made me laugh when I read this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Was one of the main things that tourist Israel tells you to do is to go to Petra, which is a different country, which is Jordan.
Jordan. I've been to Petra.
What did you think of Petra?
Beautiful,
stunning. Yeah.
Petra is in Jordan.
It's like a day trip, right?
It's a day trip.
Yeah.
It's so funny because...
It's like they only have six things on this list. They have subsections on the list, but one of them is just go to Petra. No,
it's so funny because Petra is you're right. Like every Israeli has been to Petra. It's kind of like...
Do you recommend it though?
Also, I think most of our listeners might know Petra. It's very famous from its appearance in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Yes. It's the carved into the rock. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It's very cool.
But you can't go in. It's like, it's just a facade.
But the hike to it is very cool. You're surrounded by
big
cool
slot
rocks.
Canyons.
Okay. I'm done with my dumb bit. Okay. What else in Israel? We talked about.
And next up is Andrew's dumb bit.
So we talked about those beaches and how do you say that place?
Tel Aviv.
A lot.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of Israel in between.
Yeah. What else have you done in Israel that you
have
think
you
is worth doing?
That was literally my next stop.
Hell yeah.
So yes, there's kibbutzim.
What?
Which is kibbutzes.
Okay. So in Hebrew, if you put im on the end of something, it pluralizes it.
Yes.
So kibbutz is singular. So like
yeled is boy. Yeledim is like boys.
Okay. I'm learning.
And Hebrew is like a hard language. It's like the male female thing. Like yeledot is girls. Yeledim or yeledot. Anyway. Yelda is... Okay. We didn't need to talk about this.
It's just like I had to go to Hebrew school two nights a week from kindergarten to 10th grade. So I can read Hebrew like a champ, but I don't know what any of it means.
Yeah. Kibbutzim are basically like communities that it's like socialist communities where like everybody works, for the community. Like, it's like,
it's a commune.
It's a commune. Like there's like a main like dining hall that everybody goes, eats.
And this is a big thing in Israel.
It was bigger back in the day. It's kind of like losing its steam. And so the summer camp that I went to was we dropped the Zionism, but it was a socialist, youth movement. It used to be a socialist Zionist youth movement, but now it's a socialist youth movement. And it was affiliated with the kibbutz movement. So basically this trip that I took these 16-year-olds is you go to Israel and you visit all of these kibbutzim as well as like the Torah stuff.
Right.
And these communities are all over Israel.
Are they rural? They're like farming communities?
Some are farming communities. Uh-huh. They're the rich ones. They're on the beach. But they all have like an export. Like there's like a famous one that's like a dairy farm and they like have like all these like dairy products.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And what's so cool is I know a lot of people who grew up in kibbutzim. It's like, nobody has pets. Like the whole community has these, like dogs and cats are just running
everywhere.
Around. And they just like, you know, like, oh, that's Roger the dog. Yeah. And it's very like gossip is like such a thing. And like everyone's house is like, it's a commune.
Yeah.
And it's.
Can you still go stay on a kibbutz?
Yeah.
It used to be part of Birthright, but I don't think it is anymore.
I think, I don't know exactly, but sure, there are kibbutzim that like rent out like places for
like do right yeah like that do like agro-tourism.
Yeah, type stuff. I'm sure that's
do you recommend
thing.
Going to yes. one of those?
Yes, that is.
Do
such
you have
a cool
one that
experience.
You really liked?
Kibbutzim that I like, we have Ein Dor is very nice.
Okay,
Kfar. Fuck the best. Fuck, I gotta get this name.
You can tell us later also, and we'll put it
we'll
on the
put
it on the website. Remember, you can always find our recommendations on the website.
So, like the drive to a lot. So the Negev.
You gotta get into the Negev.
So the Negev is the main desert in the south of Israel.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so basically, the drive to a lot's like all the way in the bottom of Israel. So you're basically driving through a desert to get to a lot. So on the way there, there's a kibbutz that is the most beautiful. It's like an oasis, pretty much. It's like there's water, and it's in the middle of the desert. And I'll definitely get you the name of that kibbutz.
Okay.
But you should. I don't know where you look this up, but you should definitely do like Bedouin
tents
day. In the Negev, where you could stay with a Bedouin community.
Oh.
And they like feed you, and they give you coffee, and you just like. Pretty much like camp out in the desert.
Right.
In like a huge yurt, basically.
Oh, that's cool. That sounds great.
Yeah.
And the Negev, we're talking like that like typical like sandy hill desert.
Yes.
Yeah. Very cool.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. we are kind of getting towards the end of our time with this lovely young man named Yoni Lotan. So I want you to go through, is there anything you're like, I got to say this. Is there anything left in your
I know we didn't do like a full itinerary because Israel is such a part of who you are. It's not like you just went on vacation and you're telling us about it. No, it's like
you've been so many times. But, you know, we like doing that with Epps too.
You're going back shortly, right?
I'm going back
shortly. Yeah, what's your plan?
What are you going to do?
Well, so I'm going for like a week and a half. It's mostly centered around my cousin's wedding. Yes, we've been talking about a lot.
You love your cousin.
I love him. It's so funny. We have so much. We're just like the same. We were born the same week.
Wow.
My grandparents like one had one flew to America for me. One stayed.
That's
great.
Yeah. We're like the same sign. We're like. He's also into film. He's an editor for an Israeli television station.
Wow. Famous Israeli TV.
You might have
shows.
Met him. He came and like hung out with us for a while.
I probably did.
Yeah, he's like a fun Afro Jufro.
I don't remember.
Anyway,
that's cool.
Anyway, he's getting married, so the wedding is mostly focused on that. Because it's very hard to do Israel in a week. So I think I'm going to be my family's getting an Airbnb.
Is it in Tel Aviv?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine.
So you're just going to do some
actually, no, I'm sorry. The wedding's in Kisaria, which is like a old city type situation.
Also, I feel like this goes without saying, but like the language barrier in Israel is like non-existent if you speak English. Most people speak English.
The problem with Israel, like if you're trying to learn Hebrew, is everybody speaks English there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If all you listeners who want to learn Hebrew and want to go to Israel and learn Hebrew, take an Ulpan. Which is like, just Google Ulpan and there's like a different.
How do you spell that?
ULPAN. It's like an intensive.
Oh, got it.
And they put you like in really cool classes and everything.
Gotcha.
Cool. Are there any like key phrases that people going to Israel should know beyond like shalom?
Yeah. So a big slang. So the slang in Israel is a combination of Hebrew and Arabic. It's very cool. So sababa.
Sababa means cool.
Sababa means like. Cool.
It's all good.
It's all good. Like, it's like.
Like if Yoni was like, Alex, are we going to meet up later? And I'd be like, yeah, 8:30. And he'd be like, sababa.
Cool.
Sababa. Exactly. What else? Achi is like brother or like bro. It's like, achi, money. Like, hey, achi.
Like if you run into a guy who you know you've met before, but you don't remember his name.
Yeah.
That's your move?
Okay.
Yeah, achi. What else?
You really got to get that down.
Yeah, you got to get your
I know, I'm not that good at it.
You just really got to work out some spit in your
But that's mouth. The thing. Like, I bet you sababa is probably like so old.
Yalla, that means let's
yalla.
Go.
Yalla is like, let's go. Like,
okay.
It's like, come on, yalla.
Yeah.
Yalla, like I mean, it's like also there's like so many different meanings, but yalla usually means like let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't see this, but I'm like making like a Italian chef, like Mamma Mia,
almost like a chef's kiss, but you're not kissing it. The hand is there.
This means like you go. This is like 1 second.
Like wait, yeah. Like wait 1 second.
Like
I love like clicking at somebody to tell them to wait.
But like I was saying before, like. Everyone is so familiar with each other. It's just it's very rude. It's like if you're talking and I'm like on the phone, it's like.
Honestly, the more I hear about it, the more I love how Israelis communicate with one another.
Yeah, I think you'll
like
be
they'll
really
call you
into
stupid
it.
If you like drop like it's like what are you stupid? It's like if you drop. I don't know, it's great. It's
they're all your like stepdad.
Yeah, and they're all like, why aren't you drinking? Like, come on, like have a drink, like.
Yeah.
Like, you should eat something.
Oh, wait. We should talk about Shabbat, because being in Israel on Shabbat is really cool.
Shabbat's great. So what's so cool about Shabbat is everybody has dinner with their families on Friday night.
Everybody.
Yeah.
So, like, and my family does that in here, too. Like, it's fun. Like, I always have an excuse if I don't want to, like, hang out with you on a Friday. I'm like, I got Shabbat. And it's so crazy because I go to Shabbat every Friday. I go to my mom's dinner. And my Friday nights are usually because it's like we finish dinner at like 10:30. I'm usually I'm good. Like I got my night, and it's just such a nice way to like, you pretty much have dinner with your family and you just like connect and you're just like catch up. And you're like, how was your week? And it's such a great way to like end the
Well, there used to be an Israeli show called Friday Night Dinner, which was that, and they tried to adapt. And Greg Daniels, the Office guy, famous adapter of foreign shows, tried to adapt it for American TV.
Really?
And they made a pilot, but it didn't.
What country was it?
Israel. It was in Israel, the original, and they were trying to do it in the U.S. Yeah,
just like in treatment.
Yeah,
in treatment. Yeah. So Shabbat's very interesting. I mean. I've never done it, and I've been dying to go. If you really want like a unique experience, go to Israel during Yom Kippur. Mm. So Yom Kippur is the highest holiday and
is one of Judaism. Is that the atonement one?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're not allowed to. So nobody drives. You're not allowed to drive. It's like a rule. Like legally, you're not allowed to drive.
It's like super Shabbat.
It's like super Shabbat. So basically the streets, highways included, vacant. Empty. So what people like to do on Yom Kippur is like have dinner with their family and they just go for these like walks through the streets and everything. And my mom, I've never done it. I've always wanted to do it. My mom always tells me, she's like my mom wishes that I grew up in Israel, whatever you're going to do. But she's always like, I wish you would just see Yom Kippur. Like it's so
my God, let's beautiful. Go next year.
Yeah.
Yom Kippur is usually, the high holidays are in September.
Okay.
Which I'm going to be there, but.
Yeah, you're pretty close, right?
Yeah, but like, I don't want to be away from New York for too long.
Oh, you can't.
You're a New Yorker now.
But yeah, Shabbat is like truly magical. I think if you're going and you have the opportunity to be there, it's really cool to just watch a country basically shut down. Yeah. It's like when you're in Spain and it's like, it's fucking siesta time. Nothing's open. Deal with it.
And it's such like a thing in Israel's culture. Like the soldiers get off for the weekend. Mm-hmm. So some don't, but like usually, like so many of like the buses are just filled with soldiers coming home for Shabbat.
Yeah. You
know? So like is that a good thing to know if someone's visiting, like businesses are not going to be open like
Friday
nights. Yeah.
Yeah. So like,
I mean, there will be bars and open. It's not like the strict,
but stuff with some stuff will be shut down.
Is Saturday day also closed?
I can't say.
Yeah. It's probably a mix. I would just say definitely check hours if there's something you really want to do on a Saturday or on a Friday night.
Gotcha.
But it's so beautiful. I just remember it feeling like the whole city just like exhaled and it was so nice.
I'm trying to think of anything else. I mean, like also like if you really care about the politics of Israel, like I could let you know like people, like I have friends who are big time like in the like protest movements in
Israel.
Activists, thank you. Yeah. And like, there's protests all the time. If you want to like contribute your voice, like I could let you know, like
so hit up Yoni on Twitter.
Hit up Yoni on Twitter. Honestly, Instagram, like, yeah. If you're or email me.
Like again, it's a touchy subject and it's very confusing because like Israel is the home of my family, but it's also like currently doing something very fucked up.
Sure. Yeah. It's an imperfect place.
Like and everywhere. Just like America and just like a lot of places.
Yeah.
So we are trying to make it a better place and have everybody call it home.
Yeah,
really does feel like home. I mean, I very much want to go. I've been wanting to go for a long time, mostly for the food, which is why I traveled all things.
Now we
got to
go with Yoni.
But I would love to go. That would be a dream for us to go to Israel at the same time.
I would love it.
It would be incredible.
We would get an Airbnb in Israel, in Tel Aviv.
Yes.
Okay.
Is there anything you want to plug, Yoni?
Oh, yes.
Tell the people where to find you.
We used to say we were going to do outros and plug people, but I always forget. So, yeah.
I don't know. Just hit me up on Instagram at YoniLotan or on Twitter at YoniTime.
And you want to go viral more?
I would love a viral hit.
Right. If you're in LA this weekend and you see a guy with a giant mustache, say hello.
Oh, legit. I was in the Beverly Hills Mall.
The Beverly Center?
Which one?
The Beverly Center?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm on an escalator and all of a sudden these like two ladies, I'm like on my phone and I make eye contact with these two ladies and I like, she just like slowly reaches her hand towards me. Uh-huh. And I was like holding, like I bought like a pocket square for the fucking wedding. Uh-huh. And I was like, is she taking this? Like I just like kind of like awkwardly moved back and then she just like touched my arm and smiled. And I just like kept going down. I was like, what the fuck was that? I was like, maybe she thought I was like a celebrity or something, whatever. And then I got off the escalator and some guy's like, hey, sorry, man, like, we're shooting a prank video. Like, it's like, what happens if women touch people? Like, is it okay if we use your image?
Oh my God. That's terrifying.
And I was like, yeah, you can use it.
Of course. If you guys see this
any press
prank
is good
show
press.
Pilot.
Exactly. And what else? Come see me perform at the, I don't know, Miss Pockets will come out.
Yeah.
First Impressions, it's a very fun live show in New York. It's a character dating show. It's our next one's actually going to be on November 3rd. So
that's good. This will be out before then. Yeah.
November 3rd at 9:30 at Caveat.
Hell yeah.
Caveat.
Yoni, so nice to see you.
This was incredible.
So nice to have you on the podcast.
You know what they say in Israel? See you next year in Jerusalem.
Next year in Jerusalem. There we go.
Shalom.
Sababa shalom. Achi chumus. It burns my butthole.
Bye, Yoni.
It burns my butthole.
Thank you very much.
I farted and it burnt my butthole.
Gotta be over now.
So much for listening to Take Me There. To access all the recommendations from our guests, visit the episodes page of our website, takemetherepod.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at takemetherepod. And if you have tips, tricks, or recommendations about Israel or any of the places we've talked about, please send them to us on any of our social media channels or on the website. And if you like the show, we'd be super grateful if you'd leave us a review on iTunes and recommend it to all your pals who love to travel. Thanks so much. Bye.